Doctors, lawyers, and business professionals. Learn more at reputation.com.
Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his regular Friday morning analysis of the week's political news in the Old Dominion. Hello, Jeff.
Que pasa, Wayne?
Yeah. Well, not much, actually, here in our digs, but in Washington, the debt limit showdown goes on, and Virginia Congressman Eric Cantor increasingly has become a lightning rod.
Yes, I guess one might call it the demonization of Eric Cantor. David Weigel, who writes for Slate, one of the political blogs, put it this way. We're witnessing the newtification of Eric Cantor. Of course, the congressman's problem is that he is perceived as anything but a team player, having walked out of those debt talks, at least those led by the vice president, and then apparently undercutting John Boehner, the speaker, on a possible grand deal with Barack Obama. Yesterday, Harry Reid, the Senate Democratic leader, went onto the floor citing press reports in which Cantor is described anonymously, that's the Washington way, of course, as childish. Chuck Schumer, the New York senator, also a member of the Senate Democratic leadership, echoes Reid and says Cantor is blocking a deal. Schumer's words, Cantor and his kind have their head in the sand. And this has certainly raised a lot of questions and certainly generated about Cantor and generated a lot of national attention, much of it negative. So then there was this apparent rift between Cantor and Boehner. They staged this event yesterday trying to project the picture of unity as all kiss, kiss, hug, hug. And then the reports that in the last meeting with the president, Cantor, who had confronted Barack Obama, sat quietly, not uttering a word.
Well, what steps would the state of Virginia have to take if, in fact, the deadline is not met and the federal government goes into default on some of its bills or on its notes?
No one really knows. Governor McDonnell talks about some type of a contingency plan, but it's not clear for what the governor can plan. We don't know what bills Washington would overlook if there is a default. There are scenarios under which the state, in effect, would bail out the federal government. So, for example, if Washington cut off its share of dollars for Medicaid, that's that health care program. It's federally financed, but state-managed, provides health care for the poor. If those dollars should evaporate, the governor has the authority to turn to state treasury and ask it to issue a loan. And those dollars might be used to keep the Medicaid program going in Virginia, anticipating that eventually dollars from Washington would return to Richmond. But no one quite really knows.
The Senate race for 2012, everybody seems to assume it's going to be George Allen versus Tim Kaine, two former governors running for the Senate seat to be vacated by Jim Webb next year. There are other candidates in the race on the GOP side, and all the candidates are weighing in on this budget and debt and deficit debate in Washington. What's the latest?
Yeah, the debt fight is a debate point in the Virginia Senate race, and Kaine, the presumed Democratic nominee, and George Allen, the presumed Republican nominee, have been mixing it up. Kaine is urging compromise. Allen is digging in. He wants cuts, cuts, and more cuts, even though at least four times in his first go as United States Senator voted to raise the debt ceiling. And this has presented Jamie Radke, the Tea Party challenger for the Republican nomination, with an opportunity to at least needle Allen on his, shall we say, less than sterling conservative, fiscal conservative credentials.
We have about a minute and 40 seconds, and the fundraising of the two major candidates, Kaine and Allen, has made headlines recently, and I know you political analysts always keep a close look at that as a gauge, a barometer, if you will, on how the race is shaping up.
You know, Kaine has only been at this 3 months and has already raised $2.2 million. That's a lot more than George Allen raised in this fundraising period, this three-month fundraising period. He had just over $1 million. Now, Allen is still the overall leader. He has about $2.6 million raised. But, of course, he's been at this a lot longer. And, of course, all of these fundraising reports are a measure of several things, among them Kane's financial pull as former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and a reminder, excuse me, of the national stakes here in Virginia. P.S., state legislative candidates will be reporting fundraising today, and that could be a measure as well of the direction of some of these primary campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Well, 30 seconds left. Do you want to talk about the fact that state employees are now paying a 5% contribution to their pension funds, but they also got a raise to offset that?
As we discussed off air, it's a bit of a wash. Michael Martz, my colleague, has a story on page one that points out that for many employees, their salaries are going to shrink a bit because they're going to be picking up that 5% cost of their pension that for years the state had been covering. The raise, a 5% raise, is supposed to cover that. Of course, the retirement system has recovered a lot of these recession-related losses, but there's still a big debate underway whether the state should switch to self-managed pensions for public employees. Governor McDonald says they're
cheaper. Thanks, Jeff.
Morning edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Steven.